So you're an author. You're having trouble getting published. Take heart. Some of the best-selling authors in the world have been there, too.
You know, I would cry when the rejections came in, the first couple times anyway, and I would go to sleep feeling down, but I would wake up in the morning optimistic and saying, well, maybe they didn't like that one, but wait till they see what I'm going to do next.
Well, that was Judy Blume in an interview with NPR. Here's another worldwide phenom, J.K. Rowling, on Oprah.
I know it sounds masochistic, but I was even quite pleased with the rejection letters. Oh, Scott Fitzgerald got these. You know, it's just like, it's all part of being a writer.
I suppose it's easy to say it's all part of being a writer if you go on to create the Harry Potter phenom, but we're curious, is that true? Is the tough startup still true in a place like Boston? Because this is a town blessed with voracious readers, passionate independent publishers, and writers galore. So what does it take to get a first-time author off the ground here? Well, joining us now with their stories are two recent first-time Boston area novelists. Catherine Sherbrooke is author of the novel Fill the Sky. She's also chair of Grub Street, the Boston-based creative writing center, and she's also a co-founder and former CEO of a successful marketing service firm. Kathy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Magna.
Louis Cronin is author of the novel Everybody Loves You Back. She's also a producer for PRI's The World. And before that, you probably recognize her name as being a longtime producer on WBUR's Car Talk. Louis Cronin, it's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you both. And I do genuinely hope that both of you become worldwide bestsellers, as both Judy Blume and J.K. Rowling were. But Kathy, can I just start with you? Tell us a little bit about Fill the Sky, what it's about, and why you decided that you wanted to write the novel.
So Fill the Sky tells the story of three longtime friends who travel to Ecuador to see if shaman down there can save one of them from cancer. One of the friends has experience there and thinks this is a great idea after Western medicine has given her no hope. And the other thinks it's a terrible idea but wants to support her friend. Mm. So I wanted to write this book. It was inspired by a real trip that I took to Ecuador, not for physical reasons, and thought it was a fantastic setting. I love books that take me to a different place than I have gone to otherwise, and thought it would be a great premise to create interesting conversation among readers about choices that we make in our lives.
Now, this isn't the first book you've written. You self-published another one.
That's right.
Why did you decide to go with the publisher route on this one?
So my first book was a family memoir, so it was a very personal project. I didn't really try and sell it to the marketplace, but my dream had always been to write a novel and to, you know, become that next great author, I suppose. And so having a publisher behind you just makes distribution that much easier.
Okay, so we'll talk about more about that in just a second. But Louis, I want to give you a chance to describe to us what is Everyone Loves You Back about? What was the inspiration behind it?
Okay, so the inspiration, I've described it to people as a coming of middle age story. And the inspiration was actually much closer to home. It was me living here in Cambridge and watching the city transform in front of my eyes. And watching it become suddenly so expensive that the people who had grown up there could no longer afford to be there. So that's where it started. It started with that. And the character I had was a Cambridge native. And then I had to give him a career. So I made him a radio guy, which is, you know, the other thing I knew. So half of the book is kind of about his neighborhood and his war with his neighborhood in Cambridge. And the other half is his job and his job at the radio station and all the politics and change happening there too.
Yeah. So it sounds like two very compelling stories in terms of the stories that you tell in your novels. I want to hear more though about the story of getting these things to publication. I mean, what size of publisher did you go to? Was it tough to get someone to buy your book? I mean, tell us about that process of, did you go through all the rejection letters that both Judy Blume and J.K. Rowling talked about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. Yes.
Unfortunately, I think that's a major part of the process. What typically happens is you search for an agent first, and that has its own long string of rejections or even radio silence a lot. You send out query letters and hear right. nothing back. And then once you sign with an agent, if you go that route, then the agent is submitting the manuscript to editors in waves, and then you get lots more rejection through that process.
Now, your publisher is a local publisher,
that's
right?
Correct. Yes, yes. 617 Books is a small publisher out of Boston. And I actually got to know the publisher through my work with Grub Street. So once she read the book, she immediately wanted to publish it, which was fantastic. But there was a lot of other rejection along the way, to be sure.
And Louis, your publisher is Gorski Press, is that right?
Yes, and they're in L.A. And I actually tried to sell the book. I had an agent, and she went through all the New York publishers for years. And, you know, rejection after rejection after rejection. And oftentimes they'd be the nicest rejection letters. And, you know, and I'd be thinking, but why not? You know, that was so nice. And finally, we decided, my agent and I decided, okay, put this novel away and work on the next. And but I couldn't really put it away. And I started entering contests that I, you know, for first novels. So that's how it got published. I entered a contest that Gorski Press had, and I won the contest.
Huh. Okay. So a contest is actually what got the book into publication.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting. So we've had sort of similar discussions with musicians over the past couple of years about how the business of being a musician has changed so much, that you're not just an artist anymore. You're sort of an artist and CEO of your own independent company. Mm. Is it like that for novelists who, you know, who don't have the 7-book contract with, I don't know, Penguin? Is it like that, Kathy?
Yeah, I found it very much like that. It's still a team effort. So you have your publisher behind you, no matter how small that publisher is. And I have a publicist that I work with. So it was a very small team. But definitely as the author, you have to be the one who's out in front of it, putting yourself out there, banging on every door that you know, getting in touch with all your friends, spreading the word however you can. So it's very much like running a small business in a way.
But, I mean, you had done that before.
Yeah.
You started a small business that grew into a very big one.
Yes. Yeah. So that experience really helped. I mean, in the end, hard work and perseverance has a lot to do with it. You have to get up every morning, as I loved as Judy Blume said, with confidence and persevere. And in the end of the day, people really appreciate that and have been incredibly supportive, I have found, and really excited to help out and help get the word out there about the book.
Yeah, so Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what's funny. It's like after you go through this long process, which is full of all this rejection and, you know, shattered dreams and all this, then the book comes out. And it's great. It's like people are really happy to read it. People that you know, in my life who never read my work are suddenly reading my work. It's kind of amazing because it seems almost to have no relationship to that initial process, you know. I mean, I have found people have been, you know, really great. But there's a lot of work. I mean, a lot of work to get it out. Because you don't have the normal channels of distribution and publicity.
So tell me more about that, because you're right. It's not just like, you know, not everyone gets the New York Times review and the full page ads and the you know, in the front of the bookstore displays. Like, how does it work now for novels and publishers of the size that you guys are?
It's really, you're doing it on your own. I mean, my publisher did some work early on. He sent the book out to lots and lots of places to get reviews. And he had people doing a lot of social media stuff. But pretty much everything else has been me working with a publicist to do it.
And that everything else includes what, though?
Everything else includes setting up readings, setting up interviews, sending review copies, asking if people were interested in an essay that I wrote, writing an essay for a specific outlet.
So you're like your own agent and marketing person.
Yes.
Kathy, have you found it to be similar?
Yes, absolutely found that to be true. All the familiar channels that you mentioned where so many readers get their information from, the big newspapers and reviews and lists and bookstores, are generally small publishers have a very hard time breaking into that. So, but there are a host of, for example, wonderful bloggers out there who spend all their time finding great books for their particular audience to read. So so you spend time telling them about the book, interviews with them, they do reviews. So it is about kind of trying to target your audience and figure out where they get their information and then be as smart as you can to get yourself into that channel somehow.
So let me ask you, both of you are terrific writers and you've got two great novels here. And I'm just curious, does any part of you at some time just think, I wish I didn't have to do all this, sort of the business side of writing anymore so much and actually do just more writing?
You know, for me, I am so delighted to be at this position where I have a book out because I've been doing this for a long, long time. And so, honestly, it feels just like a gift that the book is out. I mean, it just feels, I've been really tired since the book came out, I have to say. But all this work feels like, oh, I'm so lucky to have this work. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I know much more of the sort of slog of 20, 30 years when people have been trying to get this far, you know? And there's a lot of us writers out there.
Kathy, your thought?
Well, also for me, a major goal of the book, which is also part of marketing it, is sparking conversation. So being at a bookstore reading, as an example, to me isn't just about reading a segment of the book, but it's having that conversation, that question and answer, kind of opening up topics for people to discuss. So that part has been a dream come true. Yeah. I've loved it. And the next stage in that, one of my marketing tools has been to offer myself up to book groups, whether in person or by Skype, or for them to call me up if their book group has lingering questions at the end of their discussion. And so people have been signing up for that, which is a great sales tool because instead of selling one book, maybe you sell 8 or 10. And now I'm getting the chance to sit in those living rooms. Mm. I was just at a fabulous book group last night, and it's so fun to have that discussion and have these characters who've been running around in my own brain. Now it's like they're friends of a much larger group of people, and that discussion has been fantastic.
We are fast running down on time. You see the clock over my head. We've got about a minute here to go. I just have one last question for folks who are listening. And I mean, this is Boston, so there are a lot of people out there who are writers and would love to get published. Quick bit of advice for them on how to get there to the point that you guys have made it?
I would say don't give up. It sounds easy, but as many rejections as you get, keep pushing because there's someone out there who will fall in love with your book.
I have to say the exact same thing. It's just don't give up.
Don't give up.
Yes.
Well, Louie Cronin's new novel is Everyone Loves You Back. Go get it. And Kathy Sherbrooke's novel is Fill the Sky. Go get it as well. We'll have links to both of them at our website, radio.boston.org. Thank you both so much for coming in. Congratulations on the new novels, and thank you for being an inspiration for everyone else who wants to get published. Thanks a lot.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.